and Mrs. Madeleine St. Pierre.
My name is Mrs. Joda Rosa, the former Miss Oda Perrin. My grandmother on my father's side, Sidi Lafoy, was born in Green River in the province of New Brunswick in Canada on September 26, 1836. She was the oldest of a large family. Her father cultivated the land from early spring to late fall. This was done by hand with very simple tools. Trees had to be felled, roots dug out and burned, and the land plowed and harrowed. Planting seeds was a long and tedious job. Often this was done by the women and older girls. As years went by, the house, which was only a kitchen where the loft was sleeping, had to be enlarged to make room for the growing family. A woodshed, a barn, a stable, and a blacksmith shop were added as time permitted. The lumber for these was all hewn from the trees that were cut during the winter. Even the nails used in building were wooden pegs shaved to a point with a jackknife. These were often made in front of the open fire during the long winter evenings. During the winter, many families were snowed in and isolated. In emergencies, the men traveled on snowshoes. They also used them to go hunting. In early spring, when the snow had hardened, the horse-drawn sleighs were fast vehicles. During the summer, they used a pirouette on the river or a fly on the bank. A pirouette was a dugout made from the hollow trunk of a tree. A fly had a platform on four wheels. At the front was a seat wide enough to accommodate two persons. A child could sit in the middle, but did not have room to lean against the back of the seat. Other children, usually three, could sit on the platform with their feet hanging down at the back. The word fly sounds English. I believe my grandmother picked it up later when she lived in Fort Fairfield in Fairville. The pirog, the fly, as well as the wagon for heavy work, were also made by the farmer. Life was hard on the farm, but there was little need for money. There were no stores. Although there was always plenty to eat if one was willing to work hard, there wasn't much variety. All the food was raised on the farm or gleaned from the surrounding forest. Fish was abundant in the stream, and wild animals furnished most of the meat. Life was hard for the children, too. Many died, some before they were a year old, from diphtheria, croup, diarrhea, and other diseases which have now been completely eliminated through the use of vaccines and other modern medicines. The coureur de bois and others who passed through told of the better life in central Maine. Oregon was almost the center of what would become the lumber empire of the world. There, the winters would not be so cold or so long. That winter had been exceptionally hard in the north. My great-grandfather decided to move where life would be easier. Preparations started early in the spring. Two other families were leaving with them. This was only the bare necessities. They packed everything in a tabouret, pulled by an old horse. The word brouette, which means a wheelbarrow, used to be spelled brouette. It has, of course, only one wheel. The tabouret was on two wheels, something like a tumble. Finally, the three families were ready to leave. It was about the year 1845. My grandmother was 9 years old. One woman with a newborn baby and a young man who was lame had to ride. Since the others walked, it didn't take very long that their footpaths were worn through. They walk barefoot the rest of the way. Two parts were made usually by the women from the hides of animals. They had learned the art from the Indians. The first part of their voyage was along the banks of the St. John River. Could it be that they might have floated down on a raft for 20-some miles? I don't remember that grandmother told me, but it certainly would have been an easier and faster way to travel. The rest of the trip was along rough roads through the woods. For food, they hunted, picked berries, ate edible roots, plants, and nuts, and got an occasional handout from the two farmers or woodsmen along the way. When it was possible, they slept in barns, especially when it rained. They were adept at building a lean-to and cooking on an open fire. Each one shared the work according to age, ability, and sex. It never dawned on me before, but now that I try to remember and to recall accurately those happenings of long ago, as told me by my grandmother, I realize that she never said anything about hardship, encounters with unfriendly Indians, sickness, or death during the trip. It is only when they were within a few miles from Old Town that her story came to a climax. By a few miles, I don't know whether she meant 5 or 50. At the age of 9, she probably didn't know herself. Anticipation was high within the group. Finally, they were going to settle down again and adapt to a new life. The trip had been a long one, but the expectations ahead would be reward enough. It was always pleasant to meet an occasional rider with whom they set their campfire and food. Before retiring for the night, news and stories were brought around the campfire. At sunup, activities began again. Occasionally, families traveled north to join relatives or friends who had settled there. They made friends quickly. Advice was freely given by both parties. Children were overjoyed at seeing other children. Women exchanged recipes for food and medicine. Men shared their dreams for the future. When groups were met, all with the same story of sickness and death in Old Town, a great decision had to be made, and made quickly. It seemed that people were dying like flies from the black plague, cholera noire. Were they to continue and take the chance of being cured, or should they join the trek back north from where they came? It was a hard decision to make. After much deliberation, it was decided to join their newfound friends and retrace their steps north. The long trip took the better part of the summer. Events were more or less duplicated on the way back, except for the sad farewell when one family after another reached its destination and left the group. Berries, nuts, and fresh vegetables were more telephoned than on the way down. The three families returned to Green River, where the children grew up. Many of their descendants can still be found in the St. John Valley today. At the age of 23, my grandmother Mary had my parents. They had 8 children who lived to adulthood. My father was the youngest of the boys.